This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Finally, some relief.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. We're finally seeing a significant change in the price of gasoline. The last 2 weeks, gas is down 15 cents to about $3.70 a gallon on average. Has a lot to do with the price of oil, of course, which had a big drop on Friday to about $1.15 this morning. The stock markets are pleased. In Asia today, the Nikkei was up almost 2%. The Dow is at 11,628. It gained almost 200 points Friday, but was still down a bit for last week. So was the S&P 500. The NASDAQ had the worst of it, down 1.5% last week. A study out this morning says the U.S. government would have to pay $123 billion to provide for all the uninsured people in the country. Is that a good investment? Marketplace's Renita Jablonski has more.
Jack Hadley is a professor in the Department of Health Administration Policy at George Mason University. He's also the lead author of the study in today's web edition of Health Affairs, a health policy journal.
The main implication is that the longer we wait to expand insurance coverage, the more costly it's going to be.
He says the tab for the uninsured is a lot higher than the last time he did this kind of math, back in 2001. That's because there are more uninsured people, they're older, and the cost of health care keeps going up. He says reforming the system now has benefits beyond cost.
Greater labor market efficiency, possibly less burden on employers to provide insurance. There's significant national loss that comes from not covering the uninsured.
Hadley says Americans without insurance will spend $30 billion out of pocket this year. I'm Renita Jablonski for Marketplace.
There are rumblings this morning about a government bailout of Fannie and Freddie. Nothing official yet. But last week, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke said the bailout of Bear Stearns might have set a dangerous precedent. If some institutions are too big to fail, investors could get reckless.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine joins us. Alan, you call the Fed strategy play and pray. What does that mean?
That means you play for time and you pray for the markets to change and help things. The idea is you try to keep every major institution afloat, like the investment banks, like Fannie Mae, like Freddie Mac. You keep them afloat, which they've done in some very ingenious ways. And sooner or later, the market in home prices and other things will turn. And then the profits of these institutions that have been playing for time ought to make up for a lot of the capital losses that they've had. And you try not to close, you know, any major player, and you just wait until the world changes.
All right. Well, that's involving the major players. What about the minor players who are getting crushed in the meantime?
Well, that's their problem. Now this is not my answer.
Right.
This is not how I would run the world. But that's the corollary to if you save the big players, the little guys, well, you can't save everybody, and good luck to them. We've already seen that in the mortgage business, right, where zillions and zillions of mortgage companies have croaked. Small to mid-size banks are now starting to have serious problems and are going to be closed and are allowed to fail. But the real giants, barring some catastrophe, are not going to be closed.
Right. But bottom line here, do you support this kind of strategy?
I don't see what else there is to do. I support it half-heartedly because in my ideal world, the managers who ran these companies into these problems would be publicly humiliated, sent out to the wilderness with what I call the brand of Cain on them, and stripped of all of their bonuses they got from profits that turned out to be non-existent. I mean, that's what I would like to do. but I don't think anybody has any intention of doing that. Right now, they just want to keep it alive and deal with things later.
All right, Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine. Thanks.
My pleasure, Scott.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Areva, solutions for producing CO2-free energy and transmitting and distributing electricity. Online at us.areva.com. By gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about the economy at gather.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world. Online at shrm.org.
Before the Olympics, as you know, China shut down a lot of factories around Beijing. Now that the games are over, the question is, do those factories reopen? Our correspondent in Shanghai, Scott Tong, is here with us. Scott, what do you think?
Maybe not. Optimists as far as air quality are hoping that what will happen is the dirtiest, most polluting guys are actually going to stay closed forever. And that some of the green energy, the alternative wind power and solar power that were introduced to the world at the Olympics, those will stay on forever. And that obviously would have a long-term positive impact on everyone downwind from China, Japan, South Korea, California, etc.
Right. And I would think it would also have an impact on the price of oil, wouldn't it?
Well, that's right. In the long term, what Beijing is trying to do is to become more energy efficient, and that may reduce China's demand for fossil fuels. In the immediate term, the global economy is slowing down, and that is certainly affecting China and its export sector.
Well, the Chinese government is talking about a stimulus package to spark the economy, and I know it's slowing down, but it had been so red hot before, they wanted it to slow down. So I don't really understand why there's a need for a stimulus package.
Well, let's put China slowing down in a little bit of perspective. We were running at more than 11% in China last year. And now we're talking about 10%, maybe even 9%. Eek.
Right.
So it's not like China is slowing down like other countries in the world economy are slowing down. But in China, it has to run that quickly to keep bringing that many hundreds of millions of people out of poverty. And so the government is going to spend some more on infrastructure development, etc. They're going to cut taxes and hopefully stay in their 9 or 10% economic growth range, which is what the government wants to keep going.
All right, Scott Tong in Shanghai. Thank you.
Scott, thank you.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gal. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.